Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I gotta apologize. I forgot that our next guest was coming in at 4 and not 4:30. That's on me. I didn't give him the proper introduction. Former All-Pro, former Super Bowl champion, former you've banged the drum before multiple times.
Yeah.
Mitchell Schwartz.
Without you. Without you.
I don't know why you had to say it like that, man. I don't know why you had to bring that up to
me. That's the reason you bring up banging the drums, so you can give it to me.
You know, it hurts my heart that I wasn't there when you banged the drum. Mitchell Schwartz is here with us in studio, man. How you been? How's your summer been going?
Been good. Yeah, summer's been good. It was miserably hot at the end of July, and we got out of town, went to L.A. for a little bit, and back now, getting back into the swing of things, literally with golf and also with football. So having a good time.
So there's a lot of stuff I want to get your opinion on. Let's just start here. I think the big question this offseason was, what's the plan at left tackle? They had two possible options. They had Joshua Simmons or Jalen Moore. I think we have our answer now. Josh Simmons is going to be their starting left tackle. You've seen him. You've worked with them. What's your thought process on him being the starting left tackle from day one?
Well, I mean, it's very clear he's taking every single rep there. There's been no competition, so he definitely is the left tackle from what they're showing us in terms of who they're putting on the field. Yeah, I mean, he moves incredibly. I mean, it's, we always kind of call it the curse of the same number. He looks like, the way he moves, a lot like Trent Williams. Now, Trent is much bigger. Trent's, you know, 6'4", 6'5", and 330 plus. Josh is more of a leaner body and those kind of things. But yeah, just the pure explosiveness, the ability to move, the ability to get in space, to, you know, cut off on the backside. There aren't many guys. There's, you know, five at the most that can move like him at the tackle position. So that's exciting. And then seeing, you know, his kind of natural strength, I think some of the clips online look really good. Some of them don't look quite as good. Definitely some technique refinement that needs to happen. But you're trusting that athletic ability, his ability to get to the corner, to get in space, you know, especially when he's pass blocking, the natural. My thing, okay, so to reroute this a little bit, whenever I was going up against a defensive lineman, people are like, well, is he strong? You know, this guy's not that strong. I'm like, well, if he's 6'2", 245, and runs a 4'4", 4'5", like, that's strong. He's going to be strong in some regard. You know, you can't be that explosive, that powerful. So for a guy like him, who's however much he weighs, a little bit, when you look at him on the leaner side of tackles, for being that quick and that explosive, he's going to be strong. So that's where you see that kind of natural strength show up when he's not using the hands quite as well, just the ability to catch guys and sit on it. So that's what you can kind of look down the road and say, all right, when he cleans up the technique and when he gets as pinpoint as some of these top tackles in the league, it's going to be pretty beautiful.
We had Jeff Allen on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said a lot of what you just said, compared him to Trent Williams, talked about the athleticism. Do you agree that Simmons would have been a top five, top 10 pick had he been healthy and been able to finish out his year at Ohio State? Because one point that I made when we were kind of going through the draft process is, you know, you usually don't find your starting left tackle at 31, 32. You usually got to be aggressive, or you kind of get lucky like the Eagles did with their pick. So I like that the fact that the Chiefs took a chance with the player with an injury history. You trust your medical staff. You trust your ability to get him healthy. And you get a guy who could have been the 12th pick, but you get him in the late 30s.
You know, it's interesting. Before camp started, I would have said, yeah, like, you know, we did a better job, medical staff, all that. But the fact that he's just been ready for camp and participated every day, it seems like, you know, I haven't seen him not out there. It would shock me that 31 other teams, or, you know, you say the top five were already set, you know, 26 other teams just looked at a guy like that and said, no, thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I think he should have been a top five or 10 pick. That's kind of what everyone was saying. You watch the guys who played last year, and I think he had the cleanest tape of, you know, anybody. Now, some of those guys played against better competition at times, or played against Abdul Carter or some of these other college defensive linemen that were drafted pretty high. But, man, he looked dominant. He looked quick. He looked physical. All the things you want to see from a left tackle. It shocks me that he dropped to 32, because he has turned out to be as healthy as he's been. Many teams need left tackles. You know, most teams, even if you have a quality left tackle, you still would take a chance on a guy like that who has the upside of a top three, a top one left tackle. So for everyone else, just to not have the medical to be able to take him, it's pretty surprising at this point. But yeah, I mean, based on how he moves, based on how he was playing, I can't imagine there's any scenario that if he wasn't fully healthy, he wouldn't have been a top five, top 10 pick. And, you know, if not the first tackle in that conversation, absolutely.
How would you compare him to a couple of recent tackles who have been drafted? We saw Slater get picked. He was 13th overall, I believe, for the Chargers. Christian Darrisaw was another player who was kind of selected around there. Tristan Wirfs. It sounds like about the range that we think Simmons would have been drafted. How do you think he compares to them as a prospect?
I think he's – Wirfs was very big, very strong, you know, pretty good athlete when he tested. I think he ran something crazy for how big he is. Was a right tackle at the time, so you weren't really, you know, assuming he was going to play left tackle. He was kind of a right side guy, and, you know, historically, those bigger, thicker guys, even as good of an athlete as he is, you just kind of leave on the right side. And he did play right tackle his first, I think, 2 or 3 years before switching over. The other two guys, I mean, Slater was knocked for the arm size thing, but you watched him play, and he used his hands exceptionally well. So that's where the arm length discussion gets interesting, is does it show up on tape? I thought this year, Will Campbell, I thought to me the short arm showed up on tape. I didn't think he used his hands great. I think there were times where he gave up his chest or wasn't able to counter guys who had either average or above average arm length. You know, relative to him, everyone has long arms, I suppose. But he didn't strike me as someone who used his hands in the best way. So that was Slater's knock, but you watched him and he set beautifully. He got to his spots. He had that really good game in college against Chase Young. Used his left hand particularly well and was super strong against power. You know, he's almost got a body type. This sounds, I have met him. I've talked to him. I really like him. This is going to sound not so nice, but like old school PS2 Madden, the way offensive linemen used to be built in the game. He's got that like thicker legs, thicker like midsection compared to a lot of other tackles who are taller and leaner and more spread out in terms of body type. But for Slater, that's great because he has natural leverage. He's a couple inches shorter and he's got the super strong core and lower half, which today it seems like, unfortunately, he might have had a season-ending injury, but allows him to be incredibly strong without using his hands. That's kind of what you see to a similar degree with Simmons, a little bit less left-hand usage with Josh, but just that athleticism. Not quite as big or thick as Rashawn, but the natural strength and ability is really awesome. And then Darrisaw was a really great athlete who has seen a bit more raw coming out and someone you could dream upon a little bit. But I think with Josh, when he was playing, you kind of saw everything that you wanted and you just said, all right, if we can clean up a few things, then yeah, we're looking at a top three tackle. So it was pretty much all there. It's just, to me, injury related. I mean, everything I've heard, he works hard, he cares. Those are the things that you really want to see in players, especially first rounders. If you're, you know, wanting to work, if you're looking to get better at all times, even as a rookie, that's really important for kind of long-term potential.
Right now, we're joined in studio by a friend of the show, Mitchell Schwartz, joining us to talk about the offensive line. We'll get his thoughts kind of as the division as a whole. There's a lot of conversation around the Chargers, the Broncos, and the Raiders. You are one of the few people that I know that can ask this question to. What are some of the challenges that you face as a young tackle in the National Football League? We're talking about a guy starting day one at tackle. You also started day one at tackle. What are some of the challenges that you run into? What's the learning curve for that?
Oh, it's a pretty steep learning curve. The way I always used to say it is, you know, the best guy I faced in college or the best three guys I faced in college didn't really amount to anything in the NFL. Like, everyone you're going to face on a Sunday is as good or better than basically anyone you faced in college. That's the hard part. Like, everyone is really good in the NFL. There are teams that have defensive ends that maybe aren't as good as other teams, but every single guy can beat you one-on-one for a sack. Every single guy brings something to the table that can beat you and that you have to be prepared for. So that's the hard part. And then figuring out, you know, different styles. You know, my personal philosophy on offensive tackle play, you should have a base set of fundamentals that work against most things. If you face certain guys who are freaks or who do things really weird, like Daniel Hunter has this really odd jumpy move and he pins your arm and kind of slithers underneath. Like, that's something that is probably a specific game plan that you have to figure out. Back in the day when the guys were doing the cross chop and they were really quick, like a DeMarcus Lawrence or maybe Yannick those couple years, he was really good. Like, that's maybe a specific move that you have to game plan a little bit more for. But for the most part, you should have your base fundamentals and they should work against most things. And as you get more comfortable, as you learn the offense, you know, for me, it took half a season until things didn't seem like they were going super fast. I wasn't as athletic as other guys. I had a pretty good mental approach, so I felt pretty good about the playbook. That's something some other guys struggle with. You know, if you're out there and you're unsure, that leads to indecision. That makes you slow. So even a guy is freakishly athletic and beautiful to watch as Josh, if he's not sure what he's doing, he's going to react slow. He's going to be laying off the ball, and the athleticism can't shine. So number one for young offensive linemen, it's learn the playbook, learn the snap count, know what you're doing on the field. And then from there, you can kind of play ball and your technique can make up for it. And over the years, you're going to learn, you know, better techniques, more things. I'm going to approach this guy differently than that guy. But early on, it's playbook, knowing what you're doing, using the snap count, and kind of relying on your base fundamentals, which hopefully work against the majority of players.
So let's move over to the right side. You played right tackle. The Chiefs, it would appear that they have figured out who their right tackle is with Juwan Taylor, but you also got Jalen Moore. You gave him $21 million guaranteed. He feels like he's a break in case of emergency. This is kind of how I view it. I think Juwan's going to be their right tackle, and I think that Jalen Moore is waiting to tag in if something goes wrong. I actually think that it's maybe a little bit more likely because the Chiefs have kind of shown it. If something goes wrong with Kingsley, they have shown me they will take him out. Like, they did that in week two and they never really put him back. So I think the person whose job is maybe on notice when it comes to their starting five, I think it's Kingsley if he doesn't get off to a good start. They play good pass rushers the first month of the season. You got the Chargers, the Eagles, the Giants got a couple of really good pass rushers. Baltimore has a good pass rush. Like, I could very easily see if he gets off to a rough start, I could see them swapping in Jalen Moore for his position. How do you kind of see the usage for Jalen Moore as this first month of the season unfolds?
Yeah, pretty much exactly that. I think he was signed absolutely with the intention of being the left tackle for the team. I think they liked what he's a big dude. He's thick. He's strong. I think the kind of thing this offseason that we saw was maybe a return to a bit more size, a bit more physicality with the offensive line. Kind of sparked in my head when traded Tooney and kept Trey to re-sign him. You know, why would they do that? I mean, offensive linemen, you know, you're not really that scared of going past 30, especially for a guy as durable as Joe. But then you look at that combined with Jalen Moore and you're thinking, all right, well, Super Bowl obviously was pretty poor. Last year, you could argue, you know, maybe last couple of years offensive line wise, is Pat as comfortable as he needs to be in the offense? What's the core philosophy with the Chiefs up front? And I think it's just getting back to being stronger up front, being more physical, giving Pat a little bit more space. I mean, you watched Josh Allen last year. Dude had all day in the pocket. That offensive line was fantastic. Now, they've got great players. They got a great coach. You know, they're all doing their part. But it was a pretty stark difference, I think, watching Josh Allen in the pocket versus watching Mahomes in the pocket. And teams were able to start scheming us up a little bit, running twists on the right side with the way Juwan sets and getting them a little bit off levels. And, you know, Pat starts feeling that and starts maneuvering. You got a linebacker over the top ready to chase him down. So I think teams have gotten smarter about how to attack us. So what we said is we're going to get bigger, stronger guys. We're going to keep him clean. We're going to allow him more space in the pocket. he's going to stay in there a little bit more. You know, he's never going to not fully stay in the pocket. He's always going to sprinkle his magic upon it. So that's what I think the kind of emphasis was. Kingsley left guard, big strong dude. Jalen Moore left tackle, big strong dude. And then the Josh Simmons opportunity falls to you, and you're not going to not take that guy if the medical's clean and if you think he's going to be as good as he can be. And then Jalen, it's unfortunate that he kind of becomes super sub, but that's essentially what it is. I mean, with Juwan's health, it seems like, you know, for the most part, for Andy Reid training camps, guys are supposed to practice every day and take all the reps. It seems like they've been rotating, from what I can see on Twitter, Jalen in there a little bit more than maybe a quote-unquote normal starter would at right tackle. My guess is that's more health-related than performance-related. I'm sure, you know, Coach Heck is great at cross-training, so I'm sure Jalen's playing all four positions. So to your point, yeah, if Kingsley falters left guard, I don't assume he will. He played really well against, you know, Denver and Zach Allen last year in a game that he didn't really prepare much for left guard the whole season. All of a sudden, he's playing against one of the best defenses and one of the best interior rushers. So, yeah, Jalen's going to be kind of that super sub role. If it could be Josh. I mean, what if he has the first two games Kingsley did? Can you take him out for a couple games, let him reset? Sure. If Kingsley, if Juwan, I mean, the likelihood of all five guys getting through the season completely healthy is pretty low. So, yeah, I think it's a great spot to be. And then even behind him, you still got guys like Caliendo, you know, Hunter Norzad is doing well, some of the other younger tackles. So it's, we've shown historically, unfortunately, that you need to have great offensive linemen and you need to have, you know, two or three at least high quality backups that can come in and allow the team to. Because again, this isn't get through the season 11-6 and get to the, you know, divisional game. This is, we need to win the Super Bowl. That's our goal. What allows us to reach that ceiling and not having quality depth on the offensive line, unfortunately, is a big reason for those two losses.
So there has been a lot of conversation about the Chiefs offense kind of bouncing back when it comes to the deep ball. They've mentioned it a lot the last couple of years. Pat just talked about it earlier today. Is that on the offensive line and maybe them not giving Pat as enough time as necessary? Has that been just a wide receiver issue? Last year, they kind of had this vision of having these big three wide receivers. They were just never really healthy all at the same time. How much of that do you think is the offensive line? You mentioned the pocket and not creating that pocket. How much of that was a lack of weapons last year and them not maybe having the infrastructure in place to be a heavy hitting kind of deep ball passing team?
Well, it's one of those, it's a little bit of everything, but I feel like it is a little bit of everything. You know, yeah, that vision of what the receiver group was going to look like last year was fantastic. And then literally first catch in preseason, Hollywood goes down, is out for a really long time. Obviously, Rasheed gets hurt when he's on pace to have, I don't know, 160 catches and 1,800 yards, whatever those numbers were after two or three games. And then X, you know, every young receiver, this offense is really complicated, really difficult, and I think X did a great job throughout the course of the season. Got a couple late touchdowns in the Super Bowl that makes those numbers maybe look a little bit better, but those are still quality reps in a Super Bowl against everybody. So, yeah, I think you dream on what this looks like, and you've got a lot of different pieces that can play a lot of different roles. I think it's a little bit, you know, scheme, offensive line related, a little bit. Pat has said, you know, he missed a couple he wants back. That's the point of emphasis for him this year, to get back to being slightly more accurate on some of those deep balls. But if you don't have kind of the full trust of everybody, it's really difficult. I mean, those aren't high percentage throws. Those are low percentage throws. This has still been a top offense, you know, despite what it feels like. It's just the offense has shifted into this kind of 2013 to 2015 Andy Reid feeling offense, that it's a bunch of short passes and screens and run game that gets you 4 or 5 yards with nothing explosive. So yeah, I think getting back to the vertical, and it's also the way defenses are playing. Like, that's still the threat, is Mahomes throwing a bomb to Xavier, to whoever. And I think for a guy like Pat, who's so smart, he can know before the snap, well, that guy's supposed to be taken away, and he can get off that really quickly. And maybe there's a time or two that a guy beats him regardless if it's double coverage, and maybe I should have gone there and looked at him. But the mental processing is almost so quick that it can be a detriment at times. So I think just kind of waiting those things out, seeing if the guy's open, and then ripping it. So it's a little bit of everything, but I think that's got to be one of the goals this year, to bring the verticality back, to open the space up, you know, 30, 40, 50 yards, and then that frees up the underneath even more.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Mitchell Schwartz for a few more minutes here. I want to get your thoughts on the division. The division has definitely changed. The three teams are much better at coach than they were when you were in the league. The three teams are much better at quarterback than when you were in the league as well. But I'm sort of that, you know, seeing is believing. Yes, the Chargers are better. The Broncos are better. I think the Raiders are going to be one of the more improved teams in the league because of coach, quarterback. You also add a very dynamic running back. I got to see those teams beat the Chiefs when it really matters. And there is a difference in being a 9-11 win team or a 15 win team the way that Kansas City is. I think the conversations about those team winning the division is pretty premature. Sure, if you got the Broncos making the playoffs, that's sure. But there's a difference between being a playoff team and a Super Bowl team. I don't see the other three teams as a Super Bowl contending team. I see them as teams that could possibly be good this year.
Yeah, I think they can be good. And then depending on the circumstances of the other teams could, you know, shift things in the playoffs. If one or two of the four top quarterbacks aren't playing to their level, if a key offensive lineman goes down, if a key defensive player goes down, maybe things get a little bit squirrely in the division. But yeah, I mean, all three have the potential or should be 9-10, potentially 11 win teams. There might be a little bit of attrition with everybody playing each other, but I think the Raiders have a chance to be really good. I mean, Pete Carroll's always won 10 plus games. Geno is probably better than most people think, unless you're really into it and you realize how good he can be. Because of the offensive line in Seattle, because of some play calling stuff. Chip Kelly's a great offensive coach. So I think they've got the foundation for what looks like a really fun offense to watch, honestly. And defense, yeah, is going to be a little bit tricky. But we've seen, I mean, if a defense can be 18th overall and the offense can be 8th overall, that's a much better proposition than the 12th best defense and the 18th best offense. So you're looking at that. And then yeah, I mean, Chargers, again, Harbaugh gives you a certain floor. That's going to be a tough physical team year two of him. Now, the Slater injury might throw things off if it's long-lasting, potentially move Joe Alt to left tackle.
It didn't look good for Slater today.
No, it didn't. So that would be a major concern for me with the Chargers because those two tackles are them and Herbert, the cornerstone of your offense, and a little bit of Ladd McConkey, and then the way Harbaugh likes to run things. So that's a good defense as well. And you look at the Broncos, potentially best defense in the NFL. A pretty solid offense. And yeah, they're all kind of in that 10 win, which is not necessarily Super Bowl, to your point. One thing you did say, though, in terms of the quarterbacks from when I was there, would you rather have had the last 2 years of Peyton Manning or Bo Nix right now? How do you compare those two?
I think I'd rather have last year's version of Bo Nix than the Peyton Manning. The Peyton Manning, he just made a lot of mistakes, and I felt like they were like really, really carried by their defense. I kind of like this Broncos team. I think they got a chance to be pretty decent this year. I love what the additions that they've made to the run game with J.K. Dobbins and R.J. Harvey. Harvey was a guy that I wanted the Chiefs to be interested in. I liked a couple of their young receivers. Their offensive line is good. Like, I can definitely see why people are high on the Broncos coming into the year. Rob's really high on the Broncos. I'm with you with the Raiders. I think the Raiders have a chance to be this year's version of the Broncos. The team that just kind of catches people out of nowhere, ends up winning 9 games, ends up grabbing that 7th wild card or that 7th spot in the wild card. I'm high on the Raiders this year.
Yeah, to me, again, they should be kind of that 10-11 win team. They could start feeling themselves. The offense, if Chip has some kind of crazy thing and Geno's playing really well, the offensive line keeps playing good, Genty goes off. You know, they have the pieces there to be a really good offense. And then defensively, you can get by on just having a good offense and playing hard. Like, you don't necessarily always have to be the greatest. If your offense is taking care of the ball, if they're doing the right things, then yeah, you can definitely make things happen if the offense is clicking. So, I'm a fan of football as much as the rivalry is. Like, as a player, you maybe don't feel it quite as much as the fans who have been rooting for teams or rooting against teams for 30, 40, 50 years. I like watching good football. I would rather those teams be good. I'd rather watch good football. So I am really excited for the way the AFC West looks.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. Michael Parsons, the Cowboys, just they always find themselves in the yearly drama, you know? Like, it was kind of quiet for them. It is no longer quiet for them. I think we do this game with the Cowboys every offseason. I'm guessing somewhere around September 1st. Right around Labor Day, we end up hearing that Micah Parsons is the highest paid defensive player in the league. So I haven't really spent too much time worried about it. What's your perception of what's going to happen in Dallas?
I assume they sign him. This one does seem a little more contentious than normal. I mean, Dallas always kind of dips their toes into the frustrating the player by, you know, making things maybe more public or saying a negative thing or two. But I think the flip side is Parsons has a much bigger audience than the other guys, and he's more active on social media and speaking his mind, and he's got the podcast and how visible he is. So I think it's a combination of both. But at the end of the day, I mean, Dallas always pays their players. They have a standoff, and seems like everyone kind of assumes that Jerry loves this kind of thing. And as long as people are talking about the Cowboys, it's a good thing. So yeah, I fully expect he'll sign. Honestly, my guess is they're fighting over years. I would assume Micah wants 3-4 years at the most. My guess is Dallas wants 5 years. So it's probably less about the annual average, which he's going to, you know, get 42 or whatever it is. It's probably more about the fourth or fifth year.
Have you already been to the Mahomes and Kelce Steakhouse? Because if there's anybody I know that's already been there.
I have not.
You also were like a consultant probably. You probably cooked a few meals something.
No, I wish I was. I'll get there. You know, everything on social media looks pretty good.
It looks pretty tasty.
So I will, I'll definitely try it. And probably can't post a non-biased review of that place. So I'm sure it'll be good.
Do you have me as your plus one? They're going to have some big grand opening thing. And I'm telling you that I'm available to be your plus one.
I'll put that in my calendar as a potential. No guarantees.
Okay, that is our guy, Mitchell Schwartz, joining us in studio today to talk about the Chiefs' offensive line and some of the top storylines in the NFL. Mitch, man, look forward to having you as football's back, man.
Thank you.
Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Chiefs' defense that I think should hit the ground rolling. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Catch Hall of Famer Denny Matthews every Monday at 3.
And gone, Bobby Witt.
On your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Someone texted in a question. C-Dot, who do you think will be the first coach out of the AFC West that either retires or is the first one to get fired? I would have to assume the answer would be Pete Carroll. Like, if you're just asking me right now if it's either retire or fire, I would assume it's Pete Carroll. He's the oldest of all of them. I could see the Pete Carroll plan being that he does that job for two, maybe three more seasons, and they kind of have a transition plan where he's no longer the head coach of the Raiders. It's not because he did a bad job. It's just because he old. So that would be my answer. I think he's the Vegas favorite if you are putting it like that. Rob, do you agree or you think it's somebody else?
I think that's the answer, but if we're going to assume that none of them are fired because they all seem to be like having a little bit of success. There's a lot of buzz about the Raiders. The Broncos coming off a playoff season. Jim Harbaugh is coming off a playoff season. Obviously, Andy Reid. I think it's Pete Carroll to retire first, but I don't think anyone in that group to retire would like shock me because it's not exactly the youngest group of coaches in the NFL. Like, I don't think Andy Reid's retiring anytime soon, but if Andy wins a Super Bowl and walks off from the sunset, would it shock me? Not, I mean, no. I mean, he's a 60-plus-year-old man. It wouldn't stun me. So I think I think it's Carroll, but I don't think anyone's outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit surprised if Harbaugh just retired in the last couple of years.
He seems like the least likely of me.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit surprised. I mean, Sean Payton already just quit one job kind of abruptly. So, I mean, would I be surprised in 2 years if Sean Payton wants to go back to Fox and just wants a high-paying, low-stress job with great job security? I could definitely see that being the case. But I think that Pete Carroll is probably the answer to this. So I looked this up during the commercial break because I was curious to get back to the Chiefs. In the AFC Championship game, so the last game the Chiefs won against the Bills, 19 players on the Chiefs recorded a tackle in that game. 19 players. 16 of those players are back for this season. Last year, there were 14 players on the Chiefs that registered at least half a sack. 13 of those players are back for this upcoming season. The only one you lost was Tershawn Wharton. I guess the point of all of this is there are still some uncertainties around the Chiefs offense. They have a rookie left tackle. They have a player playing left guard who doesn't also have a lot of experience. You have question marks about the health of the wide receiver room. Is your number one wide receiver going to be available for week one? Like, there are certainly questions that you have about that side of the football. Now, you feel like you got a lot of answers on that side too, but again, there are questions still with it. I don't really know what your questions are on the defensive side of the ball. You know the Chiefs' defense. You know their pass rush. You know their linebackers. Everybody is back from the linebacker room. For the most part, everybody is back in the secondary. You only lost Justin Reed. From the D-line perspective, you lost Tershawn Wharton, but you also didn't have Charles Omenihu for virtually most of the regular season last year. So in some ways, you lose Wharton, and now you add another pass rusher that you think can make up the production that you lost out on. There is no reason for this defense not to be able to hit the ground running from game one. And you're going to need to. You're going up against pretty decent quarterbacks the first month of the season. You're going up against Herbert. I know we have our jokes at Herbert, but Herbert's one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the National Football League. Hurts has established himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And then you go up against the guy who should have won MVP last year in Lamar Jackson. Like, that first month of the season, you are going to be challenged. So it's very rewarding, I think, that you know you got a defense that should be ready to face those challenges. You know this defense forward and backwards. I think this defense is in better shape heading into this season than they were last year if everybody stays healthy because you got Charles Omenihu there. They've never had a healthy Charles Omenihu or an available Charles Omenihu at the very beginning of the season. If you remember, when Omenihu first joined the team, he got the suspension for the issue that happened when he was in San Francisco. He then tore his ACL and had to miss the early part of the season. The fact that we haven't heard a lot about Charles Omenihu this offseason is great news to me. He's there. He's available. He's practicing. He hasn't missed any practice. He's healthy. He's available. He's good this year. You just paid George Karlaftis. You still got the best interior defensive lineman in the National Football League. If you're going into the season and that's your three, and we're not even factoring a guy like Mike Dana, we're not even factoring in a guy like Mike Pinnell, guys who have been in this system, who knows this system, I think you got to feel great about their defense. My expectation for the Chiefs is to have a top five defense in the National Football League. I think they have all the pieces and all the parts to do it. I think they're going to have a really good pass rush. They've invested very heavily in their linebacker room. If you get a healthy Nick Bolton and he can kind of have one of those big splash years, You got one of the better tackling sideline to sideline linebackers in the league. You love your cornerback room. You love the depth. You love the versatility. There's no reason why we're not talking about one of the better, more complete units in the league.
I actually think saying top five is kind of the floor. It's kind of the basement. It's crazy to think that the baseline should be a top five. Carrington, I agree 1,000% with you, but I was pulling the stats. Do you know the Chiefs finished in total defense last season? Fourth. They were, in fact, a top five defense in the NFL, and they had the Aminahu issues throughout the season with his injury. They had dealt with, as Matt Verderam said earlier in the show, catch the podcast page, earlier in the show, they dealt with injuries at corner and at times took on a little water there. They were, with all the things that happened last season or happening in the preseason and everything, they were a top five defense. There is no reason they should not be top three. They should improve on last year's number. Now, that's a high bar because last year's number was great, but they brought back the quarterback of their defense. And no one tells me how valuable the green dot is. Nick Bolton's back. They brought back Aminahu, as you mentioned. They lose Wharton and Reed, and that's it. I think they got better at corner. I think they got better at pass rush. Like, they are better everywhere, and they were fourth last year. The expectation should be, you are a type of defense we talk about like the Eagles. It is, oh, they are truly special. They are historically transcendent, not just top five, because top five has been happening. Take another step forward.
Do you think they can get 2022 Nick Bolton back? Because, I mean, if they get that version of Nick Bolton back, they got a chance of being the best defense in the league. In 2022, Nick Bolton was phenomenal that season. Nick Bolton had 180 combined tackles in 2022. He had 106 last year. A good year, but I mean, that year, we're talking about an all-pro type. We're talking about a guy that was one of the best linebackers in the National Football League. He had 108 solo tackles in 2022, just 73 last year. And then you look at assists. You remember back then, we used to talk about how he was just always around the football. He had 72 assists on tackles back in 2022. He just had 33 last year. Now he had more quarterback hits, more tackles for losses. So maybe they're just simply using him a lot different. If we're talking about the Chiefs defense potentially being one of the best, like the best defense, not one of the best, but we're talking about them being the best defense, I think they kind of need that version of Nick Bolton back. Like, this is one of the best middle linebackers in the National Football League. He was good last year. I don't think he was great, not to the level that he was in 2022. I wonder if they can get that version of Bolton back.
I mean, I don't think you pay Nick Bolton expecting him not to be back to that form. Like, he needs to get back. Like, everyone likes to tell me, and I know I come off hard on Nick Bolton. Everyone tells me, you know, if that incompletion had been a fumble, he's a Super Bowl MVP. Get back to being that guy. You were a guy that people think could have been MVP in a Super Bowl. And the last 2 years, you've been, I don't say bad. Bad's unfair. He's been just fine. Get back to being that oh type of guy. I'm not saying he has to be Fred Warner, but there was a time we thought he was a top five linebacker in the NFL, and he was in the same echelon as Fred Warner. He has not been that player the last two seasons. If the defense is going to take that step forward, I think they can, to top three, he needs to take that step back to what he used to be, which is 2022. Even 2021, he was racking up tackles, that version of himself.
Coming up on the other side, I do want to continue talking about the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked a lot about Xavier Worthy these last couple of days. Let's continue talking about Xavier Worthy. And, Rob, Eddie Murphy said what he thinks his best movie is. I think the answer is going to surprise you. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All right, welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. So we've been talking a lot about Xavier Worthy and sort of what the expectations could potentially be for him this year. I'm curious if this is the season that you guys would be happy with, because I would be happy with it. Robert, I'm assuming, just based on the conversations that we had, that you also would be happy with it. So this is what Khalil Shakir did last season. He had 76 catches for 821 yards and 4 touchdowns. I'd be thrilled if that's the season that he has. I think that's a pretty productive year. I think that's a really good season for a number two wide receiver. That's kind of what I think Xavier Worthy is. It sounds to me, at least based on a few texts, I don't want to make it seem like that's the populace opinion, though. It seems to me like people have greater expectations for that this year. I mean, that would make him a top 40 receiver in the National Football League. It's a pretty good year, I would say. Shakir played in 15 games, had 800 yards, was a pretty productive player last year for the Buffalo Bills. I'd be happy with that. I also threw out the possibility of Jordan Addison, who had 63 catches for 875 yards and 9 touchdowns. I really liked Addison. I liked him coming out of USC. Was a big fan. I would take that Shakir year. Do you think most Chiefs fans would take it?
I don't want to speak for all Chiefs fans. Like you mentioned, that's not the populist opinion on the text line. I don't think the average Chiefs fan would take that. I think the average Chiefs fan, the calculus is a little skewed because we don't know what the punishment is yet for Rashee Rice. If Rashee Rice is 4 games, that's kind of what I think it's going to be. It's kind of what you think it's going to be. I think that number for Shakir being Xavier Worthy is a real win. Let's say Rice ends up being 6 or 8 games suspended. Not outside the realm of possibility. I think Chiefs fans would be a little disappointed that your ipso facto wide receiver 1 due to suspension was only putting up Khalil Shakir numbers. But I think that is the thing that changes people's opinion on Worthy. If you're a 10,000-foot view it and just take the suspension out of the equation, I think fans would be elated with that. But Rice's suspension throws a little wrench in everything.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are saying that they'd rather have the Addison because of the 9 touchdowns. I get it. I mean, I think that's a pretty high number. I mean, there were only 7 players in the league that had more touchdowns last year than Jordan Addison. Brian Thomas, like, I mean, the elite guys in the league last year. Ja'Marr Chase, Terry McLaurin, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Mike Evans, Mark Andrews, T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, Brian Thomas. Those are the only players last year that have more touchdowns than Jordan Addison. So I think it's a little bit of an outlier that he had that many touchdowns, just given the kind of player that he is. I would say that Xavier Worthy is probably about where he was last year in terms of touchdowns. Maybe one or two more, but last year he had six. That was top 30 in the league last year. To me, that's about where I think he is, somewhere six or seven, and that's about the yards that I think I would take for him. Like, I just want to be clear on Xavier Worthy. Like, I'm not down on Worthy. I think right now the conversation we're having is, what do you think the ceiling is for Worthy and what kind of year that you think he can have? And if you think that Rice is only going to miss four games this year and get a chance to play in 13 games, he still has a pretty productive season. We'll see how many games Hollywood Brown potentially plays in, and then we'll kind of go from there. I just think that 850 is probably, at least for me, that feels about the ceiling of what I think he could do this year.
I think that's probably about right. I was looking this up because some of the text lines, like, they should want him to be Devonta Smith. I mean, Devonta Smith last year was an 800-yard guy. Now, he missed some time, but he had 830 yards. Devonta Smith, clear wide receiver two in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I also think Smith's a better receiver than Xavier Worthy.
I think Smith's a better player than Xavier Worthy. And it's not a knock on Xavier Worthy. I think Devonta Smith would be a number one on almost any team in the NFL. Devonta Smith would be a one in Kansas City. Like, he's very, very good. So I think if you can get eight, if you can get between 725 and 925, that being the window, you would walk away elated. And I don't want to get into a fight with the text line. I don't really care about wide receiver touchdowns as much as, like, this, oh, he's got to hit this number mark. Like, wide receiver touchdowns to me seem a little bit fluky year to year. But for yards, yes, 725 to 925. That's the window I think he should fall in. Like, if he's at 785 this year, I'm not going to be upset and say that was a down season. That is a step forward for a second-year player.
Yeah, I'm also looking at it, too, that I think a big kind of part of this is, how many targets do you think he gets this season? So last year, there were 24 players that got 1,000 yards. All but three of them had, I guess, less than 100 targets. So what do you think the usage is going to be this season for Xavier Worthy? I think one thing that I would say that's kind of in my favor is, I think that Worthy got a lot of targets the second half of the season because they didn't have a whole lot of options in the second half of the season. They weren't given a lot of targets to DeAndre Hopkins, and they didn't really have a whole lot of other good wide receivers, good capable wide receivers. So I'm a little bit, I don't know if bullish is the right term, but I really do feel like that 800, 850 is just in line. Like, if you're asking me right now to give a prediction on what I think Xavier Worthy's stats end up being, let me pull it up from last year just to be clear. So he had 59 catches for 638 yards receiving. I'd probably guess this year that it's probably 65 to 70 catches this year. 70 catches for about 825. That puts him kind of in line with the guys that we've been talking about. That puts him in line with Jordan Addison. That puts him in line with Khalil Shakir, who had 76. That seems like a good number to me this year for Xavier Worthy.
Maybe it's just, again, you're right. Maybe I'm using the text line as the populist opinion. I was unaware that me and you being like, hey, Xavier Worthy's going to take a step forward and be an 850-yard type of wide receiver in the Chiefs offense from the 689 he was last season, and he is going to build on not just the Super Bowl, but a good second half of the season, would be viewed as being negative. Because the thought with the text line, at least, on how he's going to jump from basically 640, 680 in year one to 1,000-plus in year two, just, you don't see that level of jump very often in the NFL, unless it's like one of those type of guys. And I just don't think he's going to get the targets, the usage, the volume to be one of those type of guys, because it's not just him and Rice. Travis Kelce is still going to be on the football field. Like, he is going to take a percentage of the target. So Xavier Worthy is, you know, wide receiver one, wide receiver two. He might be pass catcher two, pass catcher three at times. I don't think that guy gets 1,000 yards unless your offense is just the greatest show on turf level of good, which I would love that to be the Chiefs offense again this season, but I'm not predicting that. So I think 800 is really, really fair. And I think the text line is a little bit pie in the sky with some of their suggestions.
I don't even know, honestly, if they're kind of high in the sky. I guess more so than anything, I think this is like an exercise that we do every single year, is where I think we just throw out all these like numbers for guys, like, oh, this guy will do this. And then when you add it all up, it's like, wait, like, the math ain't math in there. Like, it's not coming in. Like, a big reason why I kind of have the opinion that I have is last year between Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown, they got 379 yards receiving last year. I assume that number will be triple this year. Like, you're hoping that it's triple, maybe even better this year. So I just think there's just a piece of the pie. I also think whenever we do this conversation, there's just always yards that I think kind of go unaccounted for with the Chiefs. For example, last year, I mean, Samaje Perine had 320 yards. Like, are they going to get 300 yards from a random player that we're not talking about this year? If that ends up being the case, obviously that cuts into everybody else. So if I had to give a prediction, how many yards do I think that Patrick Mahomes will throw for this year? I would say 4,500 seems like a good guess to me. Like, in his career, we agree, the last 2 years were down years. He threw for 3,900 last year, 4,100 yards in 2023. He threw for 5,000 yards in 2022. Now, I don't think he's going to be that player, but I think somewhere around 2020, 2021, somewhere in that range. So if you're giving me 4,500 yards, I think Rice probably has 900 yards. Maybe he gets it to 1,000, depending on what his suspension looks like. I think that Worthy's in that 800 to 850 range. I think Hollywood probably gets somewhere between 600 to 700. Kelce probably has 700 yards, and then everybody else kind of gets in where they fit in. That's how I think the wide receiver room and the pass catching room kind of lands for the Chiefs. We can keep this conversation going on the other side. Plus, we'll get to the top stories of the day. Training camp is essentially over for the team. What did we learn? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for buy one, get one free on select styles, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.